This is the Lindy's Football Report. The Lindy's Football Report. This is the Lindy's Football Report with Graham Dunn, Michael Butler, and Lynn Scarborough. College football in depth and complete in 30 minutes. The Lindy's Football Report is brought to you by U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish and Academy Sports and Outdoors.
Jefferson off play action, going to throw deep right sideline. Burks open at midfield. He's got it. Burks is going to go. Traylon down the sideline. Touchdown, Arkansas. 85 yards, and the Hawks strike big.
Uyunglele throws. He floats it toward the end zone. Hits over the head and through the arms of Ross. Incomplete. Wolfpack wins in overtime. 27-21. You can light up the bell tower red and put the upset spotlight on Carter-Finley Stadium.
Are we paying attention? Especially to the Arkansas Razorbacks? Maybe we should. After an impressive win over the Aggies of Texas A&M, up the number 8 in the Associated Press poll, highest ranking since 2012. And what about NC State? The Wolfpack do something hadn't been done since 2012. That's beat a top 10 team. All this part, another crazy weekend of college football. Man, what a September.
Yes, certainly. The two outcomes of these two games, monumental in the AP's status. Obviously, first with Clemson. Clemson was in the top 10 for the past 97 weeks. That's a long string, no longer in there. And Arkansas had not been in the top 10 in the AP poll for 10 years. That is monumental to me.
25 teams have lost out of the Associated Press already. That's a record for first four weeks. That's incredible.
Yeah, and then on the flip side of that, there's still 26 teams that have not lost.
Yes, but some of them are going down this week because we've got
a
battle of undefeated teams. Well, head coach number 4 for the season has been relieved of his duties. Georgia Southern announced soon after the loss to Louisiana Lafayette. Yes, I conclude that. The firing of Chad Lunsford. The Eagles are currently 1-3, losing their last 3 games. And following their comeback over Georgia State, Auburn announced the firing of wide receivers coach Cornelius Williams. Came in with a new staff under Brian Harsin. This is, I guess, part of the new college football we're dealing with.
Yeah, ask Clay Helton about it. Remember him?
Yes.
He seems like a distant memory now. It wasn't long into the season when he was fired a few weeks back, but that's the approach now. We don't have a wait-and-see attitude. We are in the now, and if it's not good right now, so long. Get out of here. I'm surprised with Auburn with a change, but I do believe there's got to be more to it. There just couldn't be, we had a bad game. Somebody's got to go down. So there's more to it, and been hearing Brian Harsin this week in his press conference. Seems to me there was a little bit more from the background than just, a bad Saturday, you're gone.
Based on the avoidance of what he said, yeah.
Yes.
You say that. And I'll throw this in there. Tony Franklin, a former Auburn assistant, came out and really just went after Harsin. Said, and basically, he's already starting to dig his own grave.
The insinuation was it was a mistake. You hired him. But here's my problem with it. When you start beating somebody up, we're not in the rooms watching film with these guys. We're not on the practice field with these guys. There's probably a lot more to it that we don't know, including Tony Franklin.
We enter one of the biggest Saturdays in the SEC in quite a while. Two games feature ranked teams, including a top 10 game with Arkansas and Georgia, plus a couple of traditional rivals in LSU and Auburn. Some attention should be paid to Florida's visit to Kentucky. But the biggest matchup is in Tuscaloosa, where number 12 Ole Miss travels to face top-ranked Alabama. These two played a shootout last season. Expect the same this year. We know the Crimson Tide stands heading into this one, looking like their normal number one ranking. But what about Ole Miss? Brett Norsworthy of the Ole Miss Network gives his theories on what the Rebels need for an upset.
I think you got to see the Alabama punter. Ole Miss needs at least 5 or 6. You get north of that, you'd feel really good about it. Need to see the Alabama punter. Sure can't have a turnover offensively. Be patient early. The Ole Miss running game. People don't realize this. Ole Miss led the SEC in rushing last year. This is not just 5-wide West Coast offense, throw the ball around. We have a really good running back room and need to at times Saturday, if for no other reason, to let the defense rest and not have to face Bryce Young moving down the field all day.
I agree with Brett. You want to see the opposing punter a lot, except I don't even think they dressed out in last year's game. Not sure they need to this year.
Probably not. No, I agree with that. You're not going to see the punter much. I wouldn't expect it on either side. We go back to the times that Ole Miss won in this series recently, and it has been 2014 and 15. Those are the only two wins, though, for Ole Miss since 2004. Alabama's dominated this series. Lane Kiffin in his last matchup with Nick Saban, his first season at Ole Miss, threw the kitchen sink at him, and it worked. They were able to move the football up and down the field. And he's going to have to do that. Ole Miss, have they narrowed the gap with their defense? Can they stop Alabama? They couldn't stop Alabama last year, over 1,300 yards between the two in this game. It could be who has the ball last. It might be one of those type of games.
Well, raise your hand if you had Arkansas at Georgia as a top 10 showdown a couple of months ago. Don't look now. That's what we have after the Hogs' impressive showing in their first four games. They knocked off another ranked team in Texas A&M last week. Get a shot at a third on Saturday in number two Georgia. The number eight Razorbacks have the attention of Kirby Smart, who sent a message to the Georgia fans earlier in the week.
Make no mistake about it, this is not the Arkansas that we played last year. Okay, those guys up front, he's got three transfers, two from Missouri, one from Illinois State, and they play extremely hard, and they're extremely physical, and they create an immense amount of problems for the people they play. And they will not be taken lightly by this group, because they're doing an incredible job of creating problems for offenses. Just look at what they've done with those, really the two big games everybody knows about, but they've really done it in every game.
The way I see it, Michael, Arkansas is not sneaking up on anybody anymore.
No, you can't. Not when you beat two top 25 teams as they have. Remember, Sam Pittman worked with Kirby before he took this job. He was on the staff there. And boy, what he's done at Arkansas is amazing. They were on a 19-game losing streak when he took the job in the SEC, and he started winning football games against good competition. And he will bring a good team in here with a chance. I know that the line is pretty lopsided, but I think that the Hogs can play with Georgia.
And can they do what no one else has been able to do, figure out a way to score against the Georgia defense? What will Saturday's clash between LSU and Auburn tell us? It could be said both are on a somewhat equal footing heading into Tiger Stadium for a nighttime battle. Few expected Auburn to enter the game with a quarterback controversy, but after Bo Nix was benched in favor of TJ Finley, who then led the Tigers to a win over Georgia State, it's where they are. Jason Caldwell of the Inside the Auburn Tigers website provided an update on where Harsin might be on the QBs.
I think it's more about, look, we're not going to stand pat and do things the same way over and over again for very long. So I think it's early in the tenure. It probably is a little bit of a statement going, look, guys, you're not producing, then the next guy up. Like they've done that at a lot of different places. And so, yeah, it is probably a little bit of a statement, but who knows? That may be how he coaches the whole time. It just seems like you'd probably want to do that a little bit more early on to establish maybe some things with a team and with a program. And we'll see which one it is. It's too early to know which what the reasoning is. Maybe Harsin will give us an idea of that. I don't know.
The depth chart came out earlier in the week and had Bo Nix at the top of the list for quarterback, but I'm not so sure.
I think it's TJ Finley's job to lose now. I think he'll start in this game. I don't know how you couldn't start him after last week. He came in and finished the game, winning the game basically at the quarterback position, so he should get the opportunity to come in and start this one. Now, he'll be looking over his shoulder if things go south, and you could see Bo Nix in this football game. Wouldn't be surprised by that. But interesting storyline, this is his old team. He was in this game last year. They got dominated by Auburn at Jordan-Hare Stadium when he was quarterback at LSU. Chance to turn it the other way, the shoe's on the other foot, and he could help Auburn win this time. They have not won in Baton Rouge at Death Valley since 1999.
That's amazing. And, oh, by the way, they're probably LSU, that is, remembers what happened last year. They didn't show up at Jordan-Hare Stadium. You don't have to search very far to find the biggest game in the history of University of Cincinnati football. It's this week. Beyond the lore and mythology that comes in beating Notre Dame, a win Saturday would put the Bearcats solidly in the playoff talk and add to an already lofty ranking. But there is a matter of facing a perennial favorite on its home turf. Cincinnati coach Luke Fickell spent the off week studying film, which reiterated the glaring fact that Notre Dame will present plenty of challenges.
They're a really good football. I think the unique thing that you notice and see is they've been battle-tested, and I don't know that, you know, you would probably say that from a, like, for us, since we've been battle-tested a little bit just because we didn't play well in first half of games, and obviously the Indiana game being on the road was a battle test. These guys have been tested each and every week, and, you know, they're used to it in the sense that they've always get everybody's best because of who they are. But to see how they've won and what they've had to go through to win, I think tells you that they're a really good football team, a really good football program. And that's how you grow. So you can see them getting better and better, whether they, you know, had to come, you know, not from behind, but score 31 points in the fourth quarter of last week's game. You know, you just see a team and a program that plays well down the stretch as they get better, whether it's in a game or in a season. That's what you know you're in for a battle.
I may be overplaying this, but this is the type of game that a group of five team can use to put itself in a different tier.
I'm thinking the same thing, and if they can pull out this game, look out, because the hurdles are diminishing. They just beat Indiana a couple of weeks ago. There's not a better team than Notre Dame remaining on the schedule. It looks like they could run the table in the regular season just as they did last year. Last year, they weren't in the playoff mix. This is a marquee win that might get you in the conversation, and this has been a weird year already. Watch out for Cincinnati if they pull this out.
I think the most important thing you said was this has already been a weird year. No doubt. Should help. And one more thing, how big would a win be for Ole Miss over Alabama? First, keep it in perspective. They pulled off that twice in 2014 and 15, although the win in 14 was vacated due to violation of NCAA rules. The Rebels have just 10 wins overall in the series. That dates back to 1894. Ole Miss has lost the last five meetings in 15 of 17 on the field. That is highlighted by the fact that in the last 11 meetings, Alabama's been ranked first or second in the polls. Lane Kiffin has coached against Alabama twice, coming close in an upset both at Tennessee in 2009 and then last season. The hope of an upset Saturday comes from the fact that the Rebels have some of the best offensive performances against Alabama cumulatively. In the last seven meetings, they've averaged 415 yards a game. Problem? Alabama's averaged 545 yards per game in that same stretch. But Ole Miss does have the edge this season with a gaudy 635 yards per game to Alabama's 466. You're welcome to take those facts and make your pick. This week's U.S. Farm Raised Catfish Catch of the Week features North Carolina State's win over Clemson with a second overtime pass from Devin Leary to Devin Carter from 22 yards out. Gary Hahn has the call on the Wolfpack Sports Network.
Leary play action faking back to his 30 to throw. He looks, he'll fire right corner end zone for Carter. He made the catch! Oh my goodness! He was double covered, still made the catch, falling down in the deep right hand corner of the end zone. It's 27-21. State takes the lead in the second overtime.
Remember, for the tailgate tent or the pregame party, U.S. Farm Raised Catfish is always the winning catch. To find out more, visit uscatfish.com.
This is the Lindy's Football Report.
Lindy's, America's leader in providing great magazines and specialty publications covering the gamut of sports. For daily updates, check out lindysports.com with original content, including features, columns, and predictions. lindysports.com also features photo galleries, fantasy sports news, and up-to-the-minute items to keep you abreast of events from the ever-changing realm of sports. Lindy's, America's leading sports authority.
Saturdays are all about college football. Your tailgate matters too. Make it great with U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish. Catch up on all the great recipes by visiting our website. Check out our videos and learn about how U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish makes every Saturday exceptional, no matter the outcome of the biggest games. As always, it's fresh from our ponds to your plate. Remember, like we say every week, for the tailgate tent or the pregame party, U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish is always the winning catch. Find out more, visit uscatfish.com.
College football season is here. And the best place to get great tailgate gear is Academy Sports and Outdoors. Swing by your local Academy store or shop online at academy.com, where you can find grills, canopies, portable chairs, and other fan faves for game day glory. Plus, get official team jerseys, shirts, hats, and more, all at prices you'll love. Academy Sports and Outdoors. Have fun out there.
The Lindy's Football Report.
Look out, Newt. Here comes Brian. And here comes Michael Butler.
Notre Dame, home of Rudy the Gipper. And Touchdown Jesus, the Fighting Irish, with its rich football history and coaches, Leahy, Parsegian, Holtz, Rockne. Now has a new name atop the list of coaches with the most victories at the school. It's Brian Kelly. With Notre Dame's win on Saturday over Wisconsin, Kelly surpassed Newt Rockne for the most wins in South Bend, 106. Rockne was 105, 12-5, with all victories coming at Notre Dame. He is still today the leader in winning percentage at 88%. Kelly has won 277 games in all his years as a college coach. Among active major college coaches, Kelly is in the top three in wins, along with Nick Saban and Mack Brown.
It's time for Gridiron Chef Doc.
Hey, boys, good to be back on the Lindy's Football Report for another delicious weekend of college football. Listen, it's marination season. You can get your hands on it. There's really nothing like fresh maple syrup. Maple goes with pork, like American college football goes with a cold Saturday morning beer. You take the maple syrup, you add some acidity, some fresh lemon juice and zest, and then you add some herbaceous thyme and some garlic and some Dijon mustard, and you've got yourself maple lemon marinated pork tenderloin. It is a wonderful marination. When you score your pork, throw it into a Ziploc bag and add that marination, roll it over, and it's ready for game day to grill to no more than 150 peeps. Please, no more than 150 degrees. And get this recipe by emailing me, tailgatehomegatenation@gmail.com. And if you want any more recipes for game day, I'm your man. Gentlemen, whatever you do with this incredible college football forthcoming weekend, have a delicious one.
Time to visit with Lynn Scarborough from Lindy's and LindySports.com. Lynn, we just finished September. This doesn't look like the same college football season we've had in quite a while.
I agree. Several reasons, I think. One is the transfer portal. I think you're seeing a lot of influence on different programs, some worse, some better, because of transfers coming in and making a significant difference. I think another reason is more or less parity. We've talked about the upsets and near upsets that have happened every week so far this year. And I think another reason is the increased dominance of the Southeastern Conference, Graham. There are eight SEC teams ranked this week. I can't find that that's ever happened before where any conference has had that many ranked, and you've got several ball games with two of those guys coming up against each other. At the same time, you've got some conferences, Atlantic Coast Conference for one, that aren't as strong as they have been. So I think you're having some kind of Johnny-come-lately teams that are kind of joining the crowd. And I think there's multiple reasons for that happening.
And then you add to the fact that Clemson's struggling. It's making it look like the football playoff is going to look a lot different than in past years.
Yeah, and it could be that Ohio State's not there. I like Penn State as the best team in the Big Ten right now. And Iowa, you've got two other teams. I'm not sure Ohio State gets there. I'm not sure Clemson gets there. And out of the SEC, you got eight ranked teams, so I don't know that Alabama gets there. I mean, it's an interesting season so far.
Indeed. All right, let's talk a little bit about what happened with Auburn this past week. First of all, the game was a struggle. They beat Georgia State, but it was a struggle. And then on top of that, you have a coaching change. The assistant coach is let go. All of that going on. You were there last weekend. What did you see and what did you think?
Well, I've got a personal interest in this because I know Cornelius Williams, the receiver coach that was removed. So I do want to throw that in. But you can't ever tell, Graham, what goes on behind the scenes. All incomplete passes aren't because of the quarterback. Some are because the receivers have dropped the ball. Some because the receivers have not run the correct pass pattern. So you don't really know. But I do hate to see that happen. But that's happening more and more. I mean, we've already had, three or four head coaches that have been relieved. We're only a third of the way through the season. We've already lost three or four head coaches. You have had other schools that have dismissed assistant coaches. So I do hate to see it, but it looks like it's getting increasing to be part of the game.
And then you've got a decision for Harsin, who starts a quarterback this week.
Yeah, that's more or less just Ohio State has Stroud and McCord, Florida's got Richardson and Jones, Illinois is trying to decide this week. Notre Dame's got three quarterbacks going into this Cincinnati game, trying to decide which one's going to start. Auburn now got two. You know, Georgia's played two. I just thought, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what he does because Finley, the second quarterback, is from LSU. He transferred from LSU. So we'll be interested to see how that plays out. It looks like there's a lot of teams in the country that kind of are facing the same thing.
And we'll get your pick on that game in just a minute, but let's go ahead and start with your choices. We'll start with that game featuring Notre Dame and Cincinnati. The Bearcats on the road. I've already called it the biggest game in Cincinnati history.
Oh, I'm sure it is. But I like Notre Dame to win it. Notre Dame is going to have the best defense that Cincinnati will play against all year, and they're playing at home. So I like Notre Dame. I will say this. If Cincinnati wins this game, I think they run the table. I think they win the conference championship, and they become a real debatable situation on whether or not they should be in the college playoff.
Which will add to the lore of what we've already seen in this 2021 season. All right, a big one in the Big 12, Texas and TCU. TCU coming off that upset loss and an upset Gary Patterson afterwards.
I like Texas. Could be a big score in my mind. Texas offense has really been rolling. They've become a juggernaut, and I can't see TCU winning that ballgame.
All right, let's move into the Southeastern Conference. We'll start first, Kentucky and Florida. They're playing in Lexington.
I like Florida, but like several of these games, if Kentucky can win it, I think they place themselves as the second-best team in the East behind Georgia. But Florida's been playing mighty well. Their offense has had over 400 yards rushing in 14 straight games. I like Florida to win it.
All right. We've already talked about it a little bit, but LSU at home against Auburn. Auburn hadn't won down there in quite a long time. Can they get it done this time?
Yeah, 22 years since Auburn's won down there. I think they can. I kind of lean toward Auburn winning, but Auburn-LSU is the one I have the most difficulty with, Graham. This one, both teams desperately need to win, and I think the one that loses is probably out of the Western Division race because of who they still got to play. I'll take Auburn in a squeaker, but an LSU win will not surprise me at all.
All right. And the two biggest games, we'll start first with Arkansas ranked eighth. Did you think we'd ever say that, at least this year, against number two Georgia? They're playing in Athens. What a game this will be.
Tough to win between the hedges, and Georgia has, in my mind, I think statistically the best defense in the country. I like what Pittman's done. I like Arkansas skilled players, but I don't think they can win against Georgia's defense. I'm going with Georgia.
All right. And then the other big one in Tuscaloosa, Ole Miss and Alabama. Give us your pick and why.
Ole Miss has got a better defense than they've been having, but they've always put up a lot of points and yards against Alabama. I still like Alabama. I've been saying every time, until Alabama gets beat, you got to prove to me you can beat them. I think Ole Miss could win the game, but I like Alabama to win it.
You're upset, especially. You've been doing pretty well. You're 3-1 so far. Who you got this week?
Minnesota plays at Purdue. Minnesota got upset in a big upset last week. Tanner Morgan, their quarterback, had a really bad week. They're going to Purdue, who just barely beat Illinois on that same field. I like P.J. Fleck to go down there and row the boat. I'm taking Minnesota to beat Purdue. Graham, one more thing I would like to throw in. The UAB Blazers play at home against Malik Willis and Liberty Flames on Saturday. This is UAB, whose program was shut down and left for dead just 4 or 5 years ago, and now they're going to be going into obviously the biggest game in their history. They've got their own stadium there in Birmingham. Congratulations to Bill Clark and to UAB. I don't have a prediction for the game other than I'm mighty glad it's being played. UAB and Liberty. Look forward to see the outcome of that one on Saturday.
This has been the Lindy's Football Report, brought to you by U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish and Academy Sports and Outdoors.